Well, sir, it's a few minutes past 8 o'clock as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the living room, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Gook spending a quiet evening at home. Vic lounges on the davenport and gazes dreamily at his shoes. Sade is seated in her husband's easy chair beneath the floor lamp, reading aloud from the newspaper. Listen.
The bride, leaning heavily upon the arm of her father, was radiant in a going-away costume of off-apricot, with stockings and pumps to match, with burnt caramel accessories and a small cloche hat. She carried a bouquet of mixed garden flowers. Out-of-town guests were Cyrus L. Freach of Kansas City, Missouri, a former employer of the groom, Ed and Will Fulper, Lexington, Illinois, Mr. and Mrs. U. O. Dimp and son Walrab of Red Wing, Minnesota, Harry K. Montgomery of West Pittston, Pennsylvania, Mr. and Mrs. Clark Dunlap of Cleveland, Ohio, Mr. and Mrs. Bill Lacey of Toronto, Ontario, Cadwallader...
Telephone is again.
One answered.
Probably Ruthie Stembody.
No, I'm sure not.
Then let me hazard a guess. It's good old dependable down-at-the-heel solid concrete foundation trustworthy Bluetooth Jensen.
Yes.
Hello? Yes? Why, no, he isn't. Who is this? Oh, CD.
Huh?
Bluetooth Jensen.
Oh, really?
Good old sweeter than the flowers in May, it matters not who won or lost or how you played the game, reliable Bluetooth Jensen.
You better talk to him, hadn't you? Otherwise he'll hang up.
Bluetooth? How are you, Bluetooth? Glad to hear it. No, Rush ducked out someplace right after supper. Any message I can give him? Oh? Vernon Pagels is out in the lead? Okay. I see. Tomorrow he's going to buy his second United States defense bond, huh? And that puts him away ahead of the rest of you guys. Uh-huh. Okay, Bluetooth. You bet. Goodbye. Where is Buttonhook, by the way?
I haven't any idea. He walked out the kitchen door as soon as he finished wiping the dishes. He can't have gone very far or planned to stay away very long. Otherwise, he'd have said something. Cadwallader J. Urquhart of Twillman, Oklahoma.
Oh, what's this?
Still reading what the paper states about the wedding.
Oh.
Cadwallader J. Urquhart of Twillman, Oklahoma. Martha, Esther, James, Donald, Arnold, and Eugene Niebel of Indianapolis, Ohio. Mr. and Mrs. R. E. Greep of Cincinnati, Indiana. Mrs. William Yocker and infant daughter Rudolphina Margaret Annabelle Beulah of Fishley, Michigan. And J. U. Epson of O'Brien, Texas, a college classmate of the groom. Quite a turnout, hmm?
Yeah.
Immediately after the ceremony, the guest...
Oh, here's Stone Bruce. Hi.
Hi.
Immediately after the ceremony, the guests were served to dainty refreshments at the home of Mr. and Mrs. John H. Weeper, 917 South Center Street. Fun-loving friends of the happy couple painted humorous signs on their motorcycle and decorated the handlebars with old shoes. Since the motorcycle has no sidecar, the newlyweds rode away, one seated behind the other.
Excuse me, people.
Hey, hey.
Kindly forgive the intrusion.
Think no more about it. You live here in the house and are entitled to come and go as you please.
Oh.
Good old True Blue, heart bigger than all outdoors, reliable old Bluetooth Johnson just phoned.
Yeah?
He said Vernon Pagels is going to buy his second United States defense bond tomorrow.
Oh? That puts him out ahead of everybody.
So Bluetooth allowed.
I thought I'd better drop in and tell you something, Mom.
What's that?
Nicer Scott is sitting on his front porch steps.
Pretty cold to be doing that, isn't it?
I'm going over and pasting one upside the snoot.
What's this now?
Once more, Nicer's goaded the human body to the point where civilized flesh and blood can't stand it.
Has he?
He has. And I'm going next door and wang him one upside the bean. Thought I'd better notify you first.
Maybe you better sit down.
I can't spare the time. Can't take any chances on letting him escape. Any second, he might go in the house.
Sit down.
Human flesh and blood refuses.
Listen, Willie, I'm good and tired of every little while having to go over and over this business.
Remember tonight at supper? Nicer coming in our kitchen and being nice as pie and obliging as a horse?
I remember.
Axle grease wouldn't melt in his mouth, would it? He was the fine gentleman with the slick manners, wasn't he?
Well, he was certainly
well,
a lot.
Every second he was in our house, he was casting around his eyes.
What do you mean by that?
He was looking for stuff.
Looking for stuff?
Looking for stuff to pin on me.
I haven't the slightest notion
well,
what...
Well, he found some stuff to pin on me. What time did we eat supper?
Rush, will you kindly...
6 o'clock, wasn't it? 6 o'clock or a few minutes past? Okay. Well, by 7:30, he'd been all over town with his meanness.
I think
he strolled up to the corner of Kelsey and Virginia. Smelly Clark, Willis Rohrbach, and Leland Richards were sitting under the streetlight. When they saw me, they let out a screech. Mom, in less than an hour and a half, Nicer Scott had made me an object of ridicule before the human race.
You ask him what he's talking about.
What you talking about?
It's my knife and fork.
Knife and fork?
Yeah.
I think the weather's done something to the child.
What about your knife and fork?
When Nicer was in the kitchen the night during supper, he spotted my knife and fork.
Vinegar cruet, old saddle soap. Papa's completely in the dark.
Your little knife and fork?
My little knife and fork.
You have the key to this mystery?
You know his little knife and fork he eats with.
I eat with him because you put him beside my plate.
I always put him beside your plate. Never heard you complain.
I never complained because it never occurred to me a snake in the grass like Nicer Scott would use him against me.
What did Nicer tell the boys?
He told them, Rush Gook eats with a knife and fork a third the size of regular knives and forks. Rush Gook eats with a knife and fork where there's angels engraved all over and darling baby printed on the back.
Why, that little Dickens.
He spread it all over town. And the miserable object of public ridicule.
Why, Beth gave him that knife and fork when he was 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't really baby things. They're smaller than regular knives and forks, but not any two-thirds smaller. Person would have to look twice to tell the difference.
Nicer Scott looked twice. In fact, he must have stood there studying the half-wit knife and fork. He told the guys about the angels engraved all over. Told them about darling baby printed on the backs.
Well, I expect he did make it sound funny to the kids. A monstrous, great, big, grown-up high school gentleman, 14 years old, using sweet, dainty little knives and
forks. He's made it sound funny, and he's had his fun. Now I'm going over and smash his head.
Oh, no, you're not.
You suggest I leave him get away with this?
I suggest you sit still.
Right this minute, he's seated on his bottom front porch step. Wouldn't take me 4 seconds to step over and paste him one upside the snoot.
Well, you're not going to do it.
Imagine. Come over to our house this evening while we were eating supper. It was all friendship and soft talk and high-class manners. Been a warm day, Miss Gook. You're looking well, Mr. Gook. I see you enjoy jelly on your bread, Rush. And all the time, his eye was roving around. He spotted my little knife and fork with the angels on it and darling baby printed on the back. He got the details well in mind. Then he excused himself and went outdoors and run like the dickens all over town to spread the news. Oh, you should have heard the screaming and yelling when I showed up at the corner of Kelsey and Virginia. On a kind of Nicer Scott's polite visit this evening, I am now a miserable object of public ridicule.
Oh, I doubt if it's that bad.
It is that bad. I'm going over and punch his dim-witted jaw.
I say you're not. Now, listen, Rush, we've been through this business again and again and again, and you ought to understand by now I don't intend to take chances on being on the outs with next-door neighbors. Kids' quarrels is one thing, and grown-up quarrels is another.
Telephone is ringing. Telephone is ringing.
Probably somebody calling up to Josh.
Well, answer it. You're right there.
Gee, wouldn't it be wonderful if it was good old trustworthy love me, love my dog Mary is a grand old name, reliable Bluetooth Johnson again.
Hello? Oh, hello, Leroy. Leroy Snow.
Hmm.
What is your business, Leroy? Will you repeat your question, please? No, Leroy, I do not wear a baby bonnet when I go to bed. No, and I don't wear bibs or booties either. Was that all, Leroy? Very well, Leroy. Not at all, Leroy. Anytime, Leroy. Only too happy, Leroy. Certainly, Leroy. Depend upon it, Leroy. Now allow me to bid you goodbye, Leroy. Goodbye, Leroy. See?
They're just having a little fun at your expense, sir.
I'll smash Nicer Scott's chin.
Of course, he'll do nothing of the kind.
Pete, allow me to tell you a little story about Benjamin Franklin and what he said to his manservant while flying a kite near the city of Philadelphia early in the year 1820. It just so happened this manservant's name was Charlie, and there was nothing he liked better than bread with sugar on it. Well, sir, according to history, Benjamin Franklin...
Cell phone's ringing.
Oh, so it is, by George. If it could only be good old Brown as a Berry, even Stephen, dependable Bluetooth Johnson.
Hello? Oh, yes, Milton. Milton Welch.
Oh. Hmm.
What brings you to the telephone, Milton? Hope you didn't disturb me while I was sitting on my father's knee while he sung me to sleep, huh? Not at all, Milton. I assure you I wasn't sitting on my father's knee being sung sleep. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. You bet. Well, just awful nice of you to call. Yes, indeed. Call again sometime, won't you? You bet. Okay, Milton. Sure thing, Milton. Goodbye, Milton. Wonderful stuff. I will step next door and fix nicer Scott Good.
No, you won't. Goodness, talk about making a camel's back out of a molehill. Now, what do you care? It is kind of halfway comical, a big 14-year-old high school gentleman using a dainty little knife and fork with darling baby on it to eat his supper with.
Is it kind of halfway comical a baboon like Nicer Scott had enter my private home like a wolf in sheep's clothing?
Why, sure. You'd probably have done the same thing. I bet if you caught Heine Call across the street eating his supper with a little knife and fork like yours, you'd...
The telephone is ringing.
I'll get it.
Always something, huh?
Hello? Yes? Who? I seem to recognize the voice, but I can't quite place it. Mildred? Mildred who, please? Risdell? Fizdell? Bizdell? T like in Tom... Oh, Tisdell. Oh, sure, I recollect you now. Mildred Tisdell, isn't it?
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey is right.
What is your business, Hildred? I mean Mildred. Do I feed myself with my little knife and fork, or do my parents do it? Uh-huh. Why, I feed myself, Mildred. Yes. Not at all, and thanks for calling. Certainly. Certainly. Goodbye, Miss Ricedale, or whatever it is. Ah, yes, Gisdell. Goodbye, Miss Gisdell. See, even the girls.
Oh, you lead a miserable life.
I'll go next door and lop Nicer Scott's ears down around his chin.
I don't think you will. Listen, you can explain to your friends it was your mother's fault. It is, too.
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought of that little engraved knife and fork as being what Rush uses to eat with. Year after year, ever since he started eating with knives and forks, I've put them beside his plate. And like I say, they're not actually baby things. They're almost as big as regular knives and forks. When I set the table, I invariably get them out of the drawer and put them beside Willie's plate. It's never crossed my mind I had a grown-up 14-year-old man for a son and was giving him knives and forks covered over with angels and marked darling baby. Silly, huh? Oh, forgive me, Ashtray.
Oh, it's okay, I guess.
Is it?
Sure.
Begin to see the comical side, huh?
Yeah.
But where are you going?
Upstairs.
Read a nice book?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's fine.
Oh.
I'll put your little knife and fork away in the buffet someplace.
Okay.
Stuff happens, don't it?
Yeah.
Stuff happens. Mm-hmm. Where was I here in my newspaper piece?
Mm-hmm.
Why, say, I left out a whole paragraph.
Did you?
List of names.
Mm-hmm.
Out of towners.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. and Mrs. David Yasher and sons Chauncey and Beef of Pittsburgh, Iowa. Dwight K. Frapp, Jr., Mulish, Vermont. Sydney, Lila, Hobart, Gus, Vivian, Grace, Howard, and Stungo, Houch, Dismal Seepage, Ohio, and Miller Y. Miller of Itcher, Montana. A real turnout, hmm? Immediately after the ceremony, the guests were served to dainty refreshments at the home of Mr. and Mrs. John H. Weeper, 917 South Center Street. Fun-loving friends of the happy young couple painted humorous signs on their motorcycle and decorated the handlebars with old shoes. Since the motorcycle has no sidecar, the newlyweds rode away, one seated behind the other.
Well, seems like there's always something doing at that small house halfway up on the next block. So be sure to come along when we visit Vic and Sade the next time. This is Ed Hurley speaking.